I thought that today's sermon would be by example, the title Silenced. I didn't have a voice all week till yesterday. So if you didn't get a call from me about the Fall Festival, it's because I couldn't talk. So if you have been thinking about it and waiting for my phone call, continue to help save my voice and just call me. Let's pray. God, in these next few moments, may there be less and less of me and more of you with our open hearts, our open minds, and our open ears. We pray this for you are our rock and redeemer. Amen. In the pastor's study this week, we were talking about silence. And if silence is ever really truly silent, for when we get quiet enough, we hear our heartbeat, our breath, the rustle of papers, the busyness on the street outside, the busy thoughts in our minds. But there can be a sense of peace. And silence can mean different things for different people. It can be awkward. It can be comforting. For me, it's a retreat when I ride to work with no kids in the car and there's no radio playing and nobody's saying, "Mommy, mommy, mommy." But you add that D onto the word silence and it becomes silenced. And unless you've had your breath taken away in awe of something, silenced doesn't always feel too good, does it? Job's been silenced by his friends. "What in the world have you done, Job, to have these bad things happen to you?" He's been silenced by Elihu, explaining just who God is. Before that, Job had been asking questions of God and asking for answers. But be careful what you wish for. Many times in the Bible, when somebody wants to see God, know God, hear from God, it's pretty powerful. So be careful. This is the moment we've been waiting for. Will Job get to lay out his case before God? Will God tell Job why all of these terrible things have happened? Will God restore Job's reputation with his friends, vindicating him of any wrongdoing? God is going to silence them all when God comes to speak to Job directly. Did you hear that? He's not coming to talk to all the friends or to Elihu, even though that's a great perk. He is coming to answer Job. So what does God say? Job hasn't given up on God, but Job has questioned from time to time God's trustworthiness. But God comes and doesn't respond, noting illustrations of covenant faithfulness. Instead, God points to the extensive displays of God's might. In chapter 38, we see God's ability to control the forces of this world. And then in chapters 40 and 41, there's the descriptions of the uncontrollable nature of the world. These chapters are full of powerful images that are focused almost entirely on the workings of the universe itself. Things that we know very little about, and things over which we have no control. We learn through these questions that God is the one in control. Through God's many questions, God points to the deep order and the structure in the universe. There is meaning. There is underlying structure. There is some order. in the chaos? What about the tone of God? Kristen didn't have a scripture reader yet for this week, and I said, oh, let's be careful who we ask. Because if it was somebody other than Debbie, and she did a wonderful job, somebody may have come up here and been really sarcastic about it. Or they might have said that God was really mean. And sure, you can get those things from the scripture, but I don't think God is being sarcastic or mean. Job is being treated with respect. Does God ask for an apology? No. Does God demand Job to repent? No. God is expanding Job's mind and everyone's understanding of who God is. God is being rhetorical, and these rhetorical questions highlight God's power and knowledge, while at the same time putting Job's criticisms and charges against God in a different perspective. We learn that it is okay to be angry at God. Did you know that? God can handle it. But we must realize that we are not divine, and we can't ever create or control as God has done and as God does. God's showing us that when we name God, when we think about God, we're putting God in a box every single time, and that's okay. When we think we know God, there is always more. God is beyond what we can describe, what we can imagine, beyond our understanding. God is indescribable, majestic, mysterious, wonderful, etc. So what's the takeaway from all of this? You have three chapters of lots of questions, and I'm going to say today that the most important verse is the first verse of chapter 38. The Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind. God spoke. God showed up. It's not all about what God said, but that God came to Job personally. God desired that relationship. What is God answering in this passage to Job? God doesn't come and tell Job why this happened to him. God is answering Job's bigger questions of why life, why suffering, why God. God is coming and saying, I understand that you're struggling right now. I am with you in that struggle. But do you see the greater vision, the bigger picture? God is saying, I am. I make the sun. I have made all of these things. I have made it so that you can live and move and breathe and eat. I have made order out of chaos. I have reason. I have purpose. Job, in his situation, is being challenged to change his belief in God. God doesn't come to explain Job's situation or to prevent or to change the situation. God doesn't come to reward Job or to take anything away. The reward is the relationship with God. God comes and shows Job who God is in order to continue to strengthen Job's belief. God shows up to everyone who is suffering. God who made creation is with you, and that's the good news. and will redeem whatever is happening. Job has an experience with the living God that brings Job to a new place in his relationship with God. Pastor Tom is going to have more on the restoration next week. But for now, we need to remember that silence is not the end. When Jesus died, that wasn't the end. Jesus was made alive again. God is a living and moving and creating God. God calls us to speak again, to be restored. May you be given the space and time to be silent and to listen to God speaking into your life while knowing that we are not a stagnant people. God is redeeming us. And so we must trust. We must listen. We must worship. And we must believe. Amen.